Hello, welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And we are, for the first time ever, in person.
Woo! We're together.
Yes, so I don't know if you ever said this, but Bridget and I live on opposite sides of the United States. So we have recorded every episode until now over Zoom. But since it is the Christmas holidays, we are both in New York and home. So yeah, we're here in person for the first time ever.
Yep. We're recording at kind of a late night, but who cares because we don't have work this week. And we're not even using Zoom for this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, but we're here to basically wrap everything up, I guess.
Yeah, last time we finished up our coverage of Next Class, which means we have covered everything from 2001 onwards.
Yeah, basically. we've done it all. And now we're just gonna like go through our highs, our lows, our favorites, our not favorites, maybe our controversial opinions, because I don't remember everything because it's literally been like, what, almost 2 years at this point? Or a year and a half?
Almost 3 years.
Three and a half. 3 years?
Almost 3 years.
I don't even know. It's been a long ride here.
Yeah, so I think just to bounce off where we finished last time, we're just going to wrap up our thoughts on Next Class as a whole, since I feel Next Class kind of gets a bad rep sometimes. I feel like I always read people say it's like an awful kind of show, and I don't think that's necessarily true. It definitely has its questionable points for sure. But I definitely think at least seasons 3 and 4 are top tier Degrassi. So I just kind of wanted to talk about how like Next Class worked as a whole, how it worked on Netflix in particular as a streaming service. Yeah, so Bridget, what do you think?
Okay, so coming from someone who really had no memory of Next Class, like, at all, I'm not even sure. I've definitely watched it, like, one other time leading up to this. It really wasn't that bad. I didn't have a lot of issues with it. I thought a lot of the new characters that they introduced were fine. I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head that I was like, wow, I really hate them, besides Zoe, which we know. And she wasn't even new. Like, we already knew her before this. But I thought it was totally something they could have continued, so I don't really understand why it failed, I guess. What do you think? Like, what happened?
Yeah, so I think it's the fact that Degrassi, well, it's a couple things. In transitioning to Netflix, Degrassi did not change its format from how it has been working the past 14 seasons on Nickelodeon. So trying to do the same exact thing that they were doing on Nickelodeon as on Netflix did not work. So it's like they were still doing 20-minute episodes, they were still doing 3 storylines an episode, and really, and that doesn't work for the Netflix release strategy of releasing the entire season all at once.
Oh, true. That's a good point.
So I think Degrassi only works as like a week-to-week show. Releasing 10 episodes at once and having people watch it all in one sitting, especially since the episodes are so short, it's so easy to watch all 10 episodes at once. It just doesn't work the way that they were formatting the season or the show as a whole.
That's a good point. Yeah, because there's not even any commercials or anything on there. It's just, yeah, 20 minutes, I guess, is kind of short. Like, I feel like a lot of people, when they're binging something, they want something maybe a little bit longer, or if it's going to be 20 minutes, it's going to be like a sitcom, you know? Like, this wasn't a sitcom at all. And I think the only other thing that would probably deter me from, like, watching it if I hadn't already watched Degrassi before was the opening. I'm sorry, but, like, it is so corny with the, like, texting and, like, the pictures and everything. If I had watched that for the first time with, like, no prior knowledge, I'd be like, is this, like, a children's show? I'd be like, who is this for? Like, what is this? So I can see where they, like, I understand what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it more modern. But I feel like it kind of was one of those things where it's like, oh, it's like cringy. Or maybe they were even trying to copy like iCarly, because iCarly kind of had a similar vibe.
But even iCarly was kind of like, it was supposed to be a joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Degrassi takes itself seriously most of the time. So it kind of felt like the, it's like, oh, 50-year-olds are trying to relate to the kids, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how Next Class felt a lot of the time, especially in seasons 1 and 2. Which I think we talked about briefly with the whole, like, the whole woke agenda that was going on with, like, the feminism club, and Maya's getting sexually harassed, and Grace is educating Zig about what consent is.
Yeah, no, definitely. They were trying to pick up too many, like, social, I don't even know, social issues, I guess, in one go. I think that's kind of what a lot of TV shows think they need to do now, and they really don't. And I think another thing is that I've seen like things on TikTok about how they'll like show how scenes from Degrassi, like the opening cut scenes, like for example Eli finding Cam, and then them immediately going into whatever it takes. It's like, oh my god. And I feel like for this one it's just even worse to try to go from something serious into this. But I don't know. That's kind of the only complaint I have. I feel like that's the only thing that would keep someone from watching it. Is there any other reason that it went off? It just people weren't really into it?
I think the other piece of it is that in the first 2 seasons, they were trying to relate to a new audience. But then they realized that really the only people watching Next Class were existing Degrassi fans.
Yeah,
which is why going into seasons 3 and 4, they started to reference things that happened in the Nickelodeon seasons, like Maya's talking about Cam, Miles and Tristan talk about Paris at some point, I think. So like, they realize that the people watching the show are people who have been watching the show already. They weren't new viewers. And that's probably also why it got canceled, because it wasn't drawing in new viewers of the show.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't relating to the actual teenagers of the time. It was relating to people who were already fans of the show from the earlier seasons.
Which is kind of what season 1 did, though. You know, they brought back all the old characters to try to appeal to people who watched earlier Degrassi, and I feel like it kind of worked, because eventually they did phase, you know, 90% of them, 99% Simpsons still in, out. And I think there was kind of that appeal of it to people. And then for new people like us, when we, because we literally were not alive during the time that junior high came out, I think it was easier for us to transition, because even though we didn't know these people, we didn't really like have to, but all we had was the context of like, oh, they went to Degrassi and now they're back for a reunion, and like, that's cool, and like, we just moved on. Where like this Degrassi, there wasn't any reunion characters. The only reunion character that came back, I think, was Katie and Craig, and that was in the last season of it.
Well, there was the reunion episode.
Yeah, also. That is true. Okay, that was my bad. Forgot about that one. But it's like not memorable, because it's like such a social like justice episode.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it's not even like you care about what they're doing, you know? Like, they don't even have Emma and Spinner in the same scenes, and they're supposed to be married.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't think it was bad. Like, I really don't think it would have been like worth canceling over, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it was any worse than season 13. I have thoughts about season 14 in the context of all Degrassi. But I think it was probably on the same tier as season 13. And especially 3 and 4 Next Class were very, very good.
Yeah.
And that's part of my favorite seasons, so.
Nice.
I think it's just a shame that we didn't get the conclusion.
Yeah, part of me wonders if they, I mean, I guess you don't really ever know if a show's gonna be renewed. But I think this is a show that's been on for so long that if they had even a hint of whether or not it was going to be renewed, they should have closed it off. You know? I don't know how they could have done it, but they should have.
Yeah, even just like a TV movie. Kind of like the School's Out movie, where I know School's Out, they skipped like the senior year of the seniors and then just did their graduation in the summer after graduation. So I think it's like just a 90-minute movie showing like what happened with Frankie and Esme and Shay and stuff. That could have been something rather than just the question mark of what the fuck happens after season four.
Yeah, or even because I liked how they did the little slideshow at the end showing, you know, them like saying goodbye, or like Maya and Zig going off to California, and like Winston and Miles doing their summer thing. Like, I thought that was cute. I think they probably could have done that if they involved the other characters that like weren't seniors, and that would have been, or I guess they kind of did with like Zoe and Rasha, but I think that would have even been fine, you know, if they just threw in like, oh, Esme is in a mental hospital, like, great, awesome, getting help, cool. Like, just other little things that would have made me feel like, okay, there was closure to this.
Yeah, because even despite the fact that there wasn't much closure, I do think that the finale of season four is a pretty good closing for Degrassi as a whole, as it currently stands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a pretty good ending. Like, you have Maya, the lead, going off.
Thank God.
Going off into the sunset with Zig. It was a pretty good graduation as a whole. And even though, like, I think for me, what I would want the finale of the entirety of Degrassi to be would be, like, a goodbye to the school itself.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Rather than just a goodbye to, like, whoever's graduating at the time. So that would be something that I personally would want in, like, a grand finale for the Degrassi franchise. But I think Next Class Season 4 was a pretty good finale, as it currently is.
Yeah, I'm glad that they actually did wrap things up with Maya and Zig and Miles and Tristan, because they really were the stars of the show. I can't imagine if it had ended at Season 3, like, instead of the last, you know? Yeah. Could you imagine if it ended then? That would have been, like, so... That would have been even worse.
Or even if we didn't even get the Netflix series and it ended with
whole
Maya gets kidnapped episode.
If that was the last episode, I would be like, you know what? I'm never watching Degrassi. I'm sorry. Like, you guys did this to yourselves.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's most of what I have to say about Next Class. So, moving on from that, I think we're going to be moving backwards into, I guess, all of modern Degrassi as a whole. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was what our favorite and our least favorite seasons of the show are.
Okay. I think we should start with least favorite.
End on a positive note.
Yeah. So, for me, I think we could do... Because how many did you pick? I picked 4. I ended up picking 4 least favorite seasons. Which is a lot out of the 14, but, like, it is what it is.
16, kind of.
16.
Or 18 if you count all the Next Class ones separately.
Yeah, I picked 4. So, I'll start my one... This isn't in, like, any specific order. It's just, like, these are my least favorite. Like, there isn't, like, one that I'm like, wow, I hate this so much. But I did... 7. 7 was eh. I don't remember exactly what happened, so you're gonna have to remind me, but I remember not being a huge fan of 7.
7 isn't, like, my top 3, but I think it's in my top 5.
Of so. Least favorite or favorite?
Favorite.
Oh my god, maybe I don't remember. Okay, give me brief season 7.
Darcy's sexual assault, and then accusing Snake and stuff.
Okay.
You have the introduction of Holly J, Anya, and Sav.
Okay.
You have Emma stripping.
Oh my god.
For the Purple Dragon stuff.
Oh, I hated Purple Dragon. Maybe that's why.
Okay. Is that No, Marco Gambling is season 6.
Ugh. Don't like that, but...
You have... Season 7 definitely has its low points, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when Marco and Ellie make out.
Oh my god.
You have Alex gets written off randomly.
Right, okay. And that's it. I think... So the reason season 7 is probably my least favorite is because even though Darcy is amazing and carries the season, there really isn't any other parts of the season that I'm like, that was so fun to watch. Like, I hated all that Purple Dragon shit. That didn't make, I just, it was not my thing. Like, whatever, Emma would take your clothes off, go for it, like, proud of you. The fact that they wrote off Alex when, like, she grew on me, that's what I have to add. Kind of. And then, yeah, that just wasn't, it's not in my favorites.
Oh, you know what? Seven has Spinner's Cancer, too. That's a good one.
Okay. I guess it's not, like, my least favorite, but it's definitely, I like other seasons more. So I think I'm going to keep it in my least favorite.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's up there for me.
All right, so then now you give the least favorite.
Okay, so I do have an absolute least favorite season.
Oh, okay.
That, to me, is obviously the worst season of Degrassi.
Okay.
Which is season 14.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fair.
14 was just awful.
It was kind of like a joke, it felt like.
Yeah.
Because 14 is also in one of mine. It is one of my least favorites.
Yeah, so you have Degrassi Nudes, which went on for way too long.
And was super illegal.
Super illegal. You had Zoe is the main character of it, and neither of us like Zoe at all.
No.
She gets no consequences for it.
None.
On top of that, you have the nonsense of the Claire baby daddy drama.
True.
Which also went on for way too long. Yeah. What else? The summertime movie is not that fun either.
The summertime movie. Yeah, season 14 is just kind of like a joke. I honestly wouldn't have reboot Degrassi solely on that, I will say.
I mean, I understand why they canceled it after season 14.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, it was just a terrible season. I think when we talked about season 14, the only thing we liked about it was Maya and Miles.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
The only bright spot of an otherwise awful season of television.
Yeah, season 14 was not good. I also have season 13 as not being good.
Season 13 grew on me.
Okay, well, parts of it grew on you.
What do you mean?
Like, why? What do you like about it?
I feel like once you get past Adam's death, which was kind of unfortunately necessary because Adam's actress was leaving the show.
Yeah.
Like, once you get past that kind of messy beginning, it's pretty solid after that.
Well, was this the one that Dave was in?
No, Dave was gone. He was blackholed.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't know why I didn't like it then. Why didn't I like season 13? I think it was just, like, it was so long.
Yes.
And it had, oh, is this with Jack and Imogen?
Yes.
Hated that. Claire, what was Claire doing? It's probably something stupid.
Claire had cancer, and then Eli cheated on her.
Yep, okay, so all that. And, like, I'm a big Claire Eli fan, so having to deal with that was so annoying. And the cancer was so ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like, looking back at it, I don't even know what they were. I think they were just, like, pulling off Wikipedia information and, like, hoping that's what a cancer patient would experience. And then the cancer brain plots with the memory and then the plagiarism and then, like, so, yeah, no, I'm keeping 13 as being one of my least favorite ones.
Yeah, it's mid-tier for me, but it did grow on me. I just ignore all the Adam stuff and Claire stuff, pretty much.
So you ignore half the season? Cool. Okay, fair enough.
Well, honestly, when you get to season 13 and 14, you kind of have to ignore the senior stuff.
They're just, it's just a giant joke.
Yeah, almost. Because it's pretty much just the Claire and Drew drama show.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the seniors don't do anything. I guess Becky and Imogen do a little bit.
Oh, Becky and Imogen's friendship is, like, okay.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, the seniors who have been around for forever, like Allie and Jenna and Connor, they didn't do shit in 13 and 14. So it's like, it was just the Claire show featuring Drew and Eli.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, no, not a good time.
I think that's also why I didn't like them, because I loved Allie.
Yeah.
Like, so much. And she wasn't in it.
Yeah, that was her marries a French guy while he's abusing her.
That's why I hated it, too. Oh, my God. Because she was, like, she just lost all of her possible growth.
Yeah.
And literally got married to a man she didn't even... Okay. No, 13 is my least favorite. Okay, your turn. I already did 7, 14, and 13. Your turn.
I'd say my other least favorite is probably season 6.
Really? Maybe I don't remember 6, because I put it as one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'd say 6, just because I feel like nothing really happened besides JT's death.
I feel like JT's death, like, impacted the show so much, though.
Did it, though?
It impacted my life so much. I can't move it
from. I feel like everybody moved on from JT's death, like, the episode after it happened.
No, maybe a little bit. Whatever. I liked Liberty. I don't know. I liked the drama of the kid and Liberty and, like, Mia and JT.
But it was so contrived.
I don't know. I thought there was just something different about the school, like, merging and, like, having to deal with...
That was season 7.
Wait, then why was there... How did he get killed, though?
Because of the school rivalry, but the school didn't merge until after his death.
Oh. Well, I like the school rivalry, then. I don't mind season 6. I'm trying to think of why it would be one of my favorites, though.
You said Peter and Emma.
Right. Peter, Emma, and Sean. I love that drama. Yeah, I'm keeping it. Okay. But that's fair if you don't think it's that entertaining.
Yeah, for me, it was just, like, the Peter, Emma, Sean saga.
What was Marco doing?
Gambling.
Maybe I don't like 6. what was Spinner doing?
Selling t-shirts with Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, fair. Okay.
That's why I'm like, nothing happened. Like, probably the only good part was Paige having anxiety about college.
Did I like 5 then?
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. But I can see why you wouldn't like 6.
Yeah. So what about favorite seasons?
Favorite ones? Oh, 3 is still, I think, my top favorite. Yes. I love the Manny, Craig, baby, Ashley, all the drama. Just, it's so good. I think Emma and Sean finally get together. Or they're, like, doing something, maybe. Or they break up.
That's when they break up. Okay. And Sean becomes a gangster.
Right, okay. Kind of into that. That's fine.
That's when Snake has cancer.
Snake has cancer. I don't know. There's just something about it that I remember watching and being like, I think this was, like, a top-tier season. And it was really hard for me to, like, move it down as we were, like, going on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep 3 up there.
I completely agree. Season 3 is top-tier. I originally had season 4 above season 3. But for me, season 4 on this rewatch got bumped down just because I feel like the back half of season 4 kind of falls flat. Because that's when the whole Kevin Smith stuff happens and, like, Craig runs away to England, but then he hides in the boiler room of Degrassi. And then you have the whole Paige-Manny drama, which is iconic in its own right, but also didn't really fit in a season dealing with the aftermath of a school shooting. So
that's fair.
Season 4 got bumped down, even though previously it was above 3. But 3 is fantastic through and through.
I do have 4 as one of my favorite seasons, though. I have 3 and 4 listed next to each other.
Yeah, 4 is still a great season, but it's not as good as 3.
Mm-hmm. And then I also have 10.
Yes, of course.
Of course. That's Jasper's favorite. Well, one of Jasper's favorites.
Yeah. Well, that's my number one favorite.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah. 10 was the first Degrassi season that I watched live. So there's the nostalgia aspect to that. But then also, I think that's Allie's best season with her dealing with all her Drew drama and then running away. You have Holly J and Fiona becoming friends, all of Fiona's stuff. That's probably why 10 is my favorite, because Fiona is such a star in season 10. You have the introduction of Adam, which is who is one of the most important characters in Degrassi history.
Yeah.
Sav and Holly J, sure. One of my top couples, for sure. Fiona comes out as a lesbian. You have Riley, one of my other favorites. Yeah. He's important in season 10. Season 10 is just so good. Shark in the Water, of course.
Oh my gosh, so good. Yeah, I think we went through all my favorites. You missing any? You did 3, 4, 10? Any honorable mentions?
Probably Next Class 3 and 4.
Yeah, those were... See, I, like, really... I'm gonna throw them on there, too. I think everybody was good. Like, they didn't give Zoe a lot, which was awesome. but they gave Rasha enough that I, like, feel like they compensated enough for Zoe's problems. Maya was so good. Esme was so good. You're right. I think 3 and 4 together... honestly can be my top favorites. I might replace it with 6. 6 is gonna be bumped down.
Yeah,
you kind of convinced me on that one,
as it should. Yeah, 3 and 4. You've heard us rant about it if you listen to the show in the past couple episodes. It's so good. Like, it's 20 episodes, and we spent 4 podcast episodes talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, the biggest Degrassi episodes to podcast episode ratio we have. So it's just chock full of stuff. Like, you have Miles's play, 2.
Yeah.
There's just so much happening, and it's all engaging, and I think they wrap up all of the seniors very well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, next class, 3 and 4, for sure.
True. Okay, anything else for that?
Yeah, that's favorite and least favorite seasons.
Cool.
What about your favorite and your least favorite, like, storylines?
Oh, my favorite and least favorite storylines. Okay. I think this is so corny, I don't even care. My favorite, I have 2 for my favorite storylines, because it's just, the one is Maya's depression line, which is, like, so sad, but it's just, I think it's done so well. Like, the Netflix series does it just so good in 3 and 4. I think everything about it, the growth towards her being depressed, maybe even, like, 1 and 2 included, like, they just do an amazing job. They call back, they analyze depression, like, different ways than just, like, the normal, I'm depressed, like, whatever. They do such a good job. And then my other favorite storylines has to be Eli and Claire leading up to them dating. How could it not be? Like, come okay, on.
As a whole, I'm sketchy, but leading up to them dating, sure.
Yeah. No. Like, I would not, when we talk about Eli and Claire, the second Eli graduates, we're done. Like, we are absolutely done. Like,
we don't talk about Eli after he graduates. No,
like, it's not even the same person. But I feel like just Eli and Claire in general, they're just, like, storylines together. Like, how could you not root for them? You know? It's just so interesting. So those are my 2 favorites. Sorry, I couldn't pick one. There's just so many, you know?
Yes. For me, Maya, like you already said, for sure. Fiona.
Of course.
You don't need to hear me grunt about Fiona again. I would say Marco's coming out.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I say that also because I got Linda Skyler's memoir for Christmas. And I haven't finished it yet. But in one of the early chapters, she talks about how one of her best friends was a gay man. And he kind of helped inspire a lot of Degrassi.
Aw.
And how in Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High, she really wasn't able to tell those gay storylines, but Marco was the first time that Degrassi was able to tell storylines about gay people, and how that was so important to her to tell because of her gay best friend. So that kind of, having just read that yesterday, like, really got me my feelings about the Marco storyline, because that was the first time that there was a gay character on Degrassi telling those character stories.
Sure.
So,
aw.
I'll say that.
That's it. Okay, well, I have my least favorite, and I kind of want you to guess what you think my least favorite is.
Zoe?
Okay, it's actually not Zoe. It's Drew and the gang.
Okay, true.
I can't deal with it. I hate the fact that, one, it even happens, 2, that him and Bianca literally murder someone. Literally murder someone, and then have to deal with the aftermath of that. And the fact that it ends up being Tiny's older brother, and then they just, like, forget the fact that, like, he was a horrible, horrible man. Like, they do not talk about how he basically, like, I don't even know, groomed Bianca, and I haven't groomed her, but, like, held her hostage in this awful adult relationship when she was a child.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is Tiny's brother. And it's like, he's in a gang, and, like, what? Okay, so, yeah. Drew, gang, easily. I can't even say it out loud. Is my absolute least favorite plot. Second one, Peter Meth.
Your turn. That's iconic, though.
It's iconic, but it's so freaking stupid, because he's like, I'm addicted to meth. Just kidding. Not anymore, now that I live with my mom. Okay, your turn.
Honestly, if I was living with Hatsalakos, I wouldn't be addicted to meth either.
That's fair. She's badass.
Least favorite storylines, already talked about both of these pretty much. Adam's death and Degrassi nudes.
Yeah. Well, Adam's death, what do you wish that they did differently?
That they just, like, sent him away.
Like, where?
Maybe he got into college early or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he was smart. They probably could have thought of something.
Yeah, they didn't need to kill him. They could have killed Dave.
True. That's true.
Well, no offense to Dave.
The only thing that I saw was, like, when, I guess, JT's actor had requested his character go out in a really dramatic way. So, like, I saw that on TikTok, I think. Or I read it somewhere. So basically that's why they, like, built up him getting stabbed. And, like, that was very dramatic. That was very, like, horrible to watch and, like, so sad because he was such a lovable character. But that was what his actor wanted. Where, like, I don't know if Adam's actress wanted him to go out in, like, a don't text and drive kind of way. Or, like, she just, like, didn't care. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think she just wanted off the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she had any opinion about how Adam went, but as I've talked about before, Adam is too important of a character to Degrassi and honestly to television as a whole to have him go out the way he did.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's number one for me. Degrassi nudes is there just because of how absurd and awful it was.
Yeah, okay, that's absolutely fair. Degrassi nudes is awful.
Okay, what about, do you have any storylines you wish you had seen on Degrassi, like Most Wanted?
That's a good question. I might need a minute to think about it. If you have yours, you can go.
For me, I think it would be more disabled characters.
Hmm.
Pretty much the only disabled character we really see is Jimmy.
True.
And maybe if you want to count Tristan for like the one storyline he had after his coma.
Yeah.
But I really would have liked to see more disabled characters and more disabled representation, because for Jimmy, all of his storylines were like, I hate being in a wheelchair. I want to do whatever I can to get out of this wheelchair. And I think the implication is that he gets out of his wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
at least from the Drake music video with the reunion.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But yeah, I would have liked to see like maybe a deaf character or a blind character, or they did have that one girl in the wheelchair in the first couple seasons. I think her name was Nadia,
mm-hmm.
but she was blackholed, so they never did anything with her. So I would have liked to see definitely more disabled representation and disabled storylines on Degrassi.
I think for me, now that I'm like thinking about it, I guess like maybe some characters who were like bigger. Like I feel like with Terry, like they were kind of going somewhere, like she was modeling, and then they killed her off, basically, yeah. Right? Like, you know. And then we never, did we have any after that?
Any fat characters?
Yeah, basically. Because, like, I feel like everybody watching Degrassi is very thin, very pretty, you know, like, even if they're not, like, the standard, like, you know, like, Claire, nothing against Claire, but, like, Claire didn't start off super pretty, and then, like, she grew into being pretty, and, like, I understand that, you know, you start young and then you, like, get older, but I just don't think there was any, like, representation in that sense. And I feel like that's just so unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, like, imagine if they kept Terry on and they gave Terry the modeling storylines that Mia got.
Yeah, like, they could have done that. Or the only other thing I can think of is when they gave, oh, shoot. Why can't I think of his name? He dates, Oh my Danny? God. Not Danny. No. Oh no. He's like bigger and later and he's funny.
Mo,
thank you. The only thing that they gave Mo was like diabetes for a hot second. And that's not even like what, I feel like they weren't even clear about that either. And then that was the end of that. And like, did they only give it to him because he's bigger?
Yeah.
Like, which is even worse. So I think that they could have done more with that. It didn't even need to be their plots all the time. There just wasn't representation.
Yes.
Of bigger sized people,
I think. Yes, for sure, for sure.
So that's kind of mine, I think.
Yeah. And on that note, as we've talked about before, just like how all of the black female characters all get shafted as the sidekicks, pretty much. Shay was a step in the right direction.
Shay was, and even like, I mean, that is absolutely true with the black characters, but also like think about like Allie, too. She was a side character for so long until she wasn't, and then she was again. And it's, like, that kind of is annoying, too. Like, she started off as Claire's friend. And then she grew. And same with Manny. Manny, you know, the whole point is that she's not white. And then it, like, she was a sidekick until she wasn't. And then she got with Jay and ruined her life. But, you know, whatever. I think, and that's the same, like, Jimmy was a sidekick, like, until he wasn't, and then he was again. Like, it's just, there isn't a consistent, or there wasn't a lot of consistent characters that weren't white that were main characters,
basically. Yes, exactly. So, if any Degrassi reboot makers are listening, please take, please take our thoughts into account.
Yep, exactly. Would love that.
Okay, something else I wanted to talk about was, since both of us have seen Degrassi before, like, doing this podcast was, I want to say, my fourth or fifth time watching Degrassi. Was this your second?
This was, I had watched episodes as they were on TV, but this was only my second time, like, all the way through watching it, like, from start to finish.
Okay. So, I wanted to talk about, like, having watched it, kind of knowing vaguely what's going to happen, what characters did you like more or did you like less this time around?
Okay. Do you want to start with ones that, like, grew on me?
Yeah.
Okay. So someone who grew on me for sure was Lola. I think when I first watched it, I was very much just like, this is an Ariana Grande ripoff of Kat. Like, I know I've said it in the podcast as well. Like, at least that's what I thought they were going for. But I think everything that she did with Yael really, like, changed how I felt with everything she did with Shay and Tiny. Because, like, I think there was just, like, the maturity of her having to get the abortion, her friendship with Yael, I think that really made me grow and, like, respect her a lot more. And I think I just had a lot of issues with her immaturity the first time around. And I didn't really think about her impact on Yael's life, basically. And now I'm like, okay, I actually do really like Lola a lot. She grew on me, for sure.
For me, it would be Shay.
I know. You do love Shay, that's fair.
Yeah, but the first time I watched, Shay was just kind of a throwaway character for me. Like, I didn't really appreciate what she brought to the show when I first watched Next Class. When this time, it's like, wow, Shay is like the star of her class, really. Mm-hmm. Definitely more than Frankie.
Yeah, definitely more than Frankie, that's for sure.
So, she definitely grew on me. I really liked everything she did. Her and Tiny is, like, one of the best relationships on the show.
They're, like, the healthiest, legit relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Shay. She definitely grew on me. I'd say also Jenna.
Can't say the same, but okay.
So, for me, with Jenna, I just loved her pregnancy storyline and, like, raising the baby for the first couple months. Like, okay. I feel like I didn't really appreciate that storyline the first time through, but I just really liked her growth and maturity dealing with the pregnancy, even though it started off very suspect with her ignoring that she was pregnant until 5 months in. But I just really felt for her when Casey was cheating on her and she was stuck with the baby all the time.
For real.
And then I really, really like the religion storyline with her, even though they didn't do anything with it afterwards. The episode itself, I really enjoyed for Jenna.
Okay, that's fair. I also think Rasha grew on me. I don't think that she, like, I never disliked her. I just didn't realize how much I actually liked her until I rewatched it a second time. I think the first time I was just kind of like, oh, she's Zoe's girlfriend. But the second time around, realizing how much I hated Zoe, I think Rasha brought a lot to the table to make Zoe likable. Yeah. Literally. So Rasha for sure. And then one that's kind of controversial for me, which is surprising, but even though he's still not, like, my favorite, I think Miles kind of grew on me.
Yes! As yes! We watched.
How could he not? Like, he went through a lot of shit, and, like, even though he's rich, I gotta look past it. Like, did he make the best choices all the time? No. But I think he was a big step for Degrassi to have a bisexual character, and I think that he did a really good job with it, in my opinion.
I did it. I did it.
You did it. Okay, I have one more. How many do you have? Do you want
to
go?
I just briefly wanted to say Dave. Because I feel like in the first couple seasons of the podcast, we were just shitting on Dave left and right. And I feel like this is actually watching seasons 10 through 12 after we did the podcast. And I hate Dave less. He's still not my favorite character by any means, but I do like Dave more, at least from the perspective of what he brings to the show.
Okay.
Like, I still don't think he's a good boyfriend at all. And he and Allie do not belong together.
No, but, definitely not.
I still hate that he was blackholed, because he was such an important character for such a long time that he did not deserve to get blackholed and basically just replaced with Dallas.
Yeah, no, that I actually will agree with. I feel like he really shouldn't have been blackholed, because I didn't realize how big of a character he was until he was... because he was Adam's friend.
Yeah.
At the end. And then, like, literally he just, like, disappeared when Adam died. Like, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
My last one that grew on me, for sure, is Alex. I just, like, when watching it, and I think when we were even talking about it, I was like, how am I supposed to look past the fact that she was involved in Jimmy getting shot, right? It's, like, one of those things where you're like, how are you supposed to move past it? But I did. And then she grew on me, and she tried so hard to be a good person for Paige and herself, and, like, her life sucked and everything. And then they just blackholed her out of nowhere, and that was it. And I really, she really grew on me, for sure. I really liked Alex by the end of it.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Okay. On the other side, who do you like less now? Like, maybe it was your favorite, or, like, somebody who you were kind of neutral towards, but now you really hate them.
Okay. Casey. I don't know. The first time around when I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, Casey is such a hunk. Like, he's so cute. Like, he has such a tough life. Like, whatever. You know, tried to give him some slack with the whole coach situation. He has the baby. He, like, tries, and then he cheats on Jenna. And then it's just, like, there's just no... I couldn't look past it. I really couldn't. There was no redeeming thing for me. Like, he all of a sudden turns into, like, this bad guy. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't think I really liked him. And when he left, I was kind of like, eh. Like, it wasn't, like, impactful on me.
Yeah, because just as he's starting to get better after the whole baby thing, he leaves. Yeah. So it's like he can't even get his redemption.
Yeah, so Casey, I think, is someone that, like, went from, I don't really, like, mind him. Like, he's not that bad, you know, to, like, all right. I probably could have done without him after, like, him and Claire break up. I think if they, like, solely blackholed him, or, like, I can't even stand him and Claire and Jenna shit. It just pisses me off so much, you know? So, whatever. Okay, Casey. Done.
On the other side of characters with initials, for me, it's JT.
No, not JT.
JT was just an asshole to all of his friends.
But he was so cute. It was fine.
That doesn't mean he could be a dick to Toby and Liberty at any time he wants.
I know. You're right.
Yeah, so watching this time, it's just like, JT, why are you like this? Just be nice to your friends. Who cares that Toby isn't as popular as Paige? Don't be a dick to him.
Fair, fine.
And don't ignore that you have feelings for Liberty for 4 fucking years before you finally grow some balls with your tiny-ass dick.
Oh my
and
god.
And confess your feelings to her.
He's dead. You have to be a little bit nicer.
Honestly, we're better off. Okay. I'm sorry.
Fine. My turn. Like, Claire. Claire really just... whew, she went downhill real fast. I think, like... and I don't think it was Claire, like, the whole time. It wasn't. It was Claire, basically, seasons 13 and 14 of Claire. And, like... it's hard for me to be like, oh, like, she's the main character, you know? Like, how do you not like her? But it's just, like, her plots were so bad. It's just cancer, bad. Baby, bad. Eli, bad. Drew, loved it, but, like, wasn't enough. So then it was bad. And it was just, you know, and then all of a sudden she's like, I'm not doing anything after school. Are you kidding? We literally have been waiting for you to pick a freaking career or job, whatever. Watching all her, like, weird newspaper stuff. I just can't. She just wasn't, it wasn't it for me. It wasn't, her actress, great. That's also what, like, none of this has to do with acting or actresses or actors. They're all great. Just Claire as a whole, I don't know. I really liked her the first time around, and then she tried to sleep with her stepbrother, and I'm like, I'm done. Okay, your turn.
So this next one is pretty much exclusively because of you. Jay.
Yes, Jay. He's on my list too, but like I know.
Well, this is both Jay and his relationship with Manny. It's like I wouldn't say I always loved Jay, but he was always like a fun character to me. But hearing you talk about how terrible a person he is every time we talked about him, it's like, well, you're right. I can't argue with you. So it's like, well, I can't like Jay now because I keep thinking about all the terrible things he's always done and never felt bad about and never got consequences for.
So terrible. So bad. Okay. Yeah, I already have Jay on here. Zoe, I feel like everybody knows. I don't even know if I, like, should even put her on this because of how much I hate her. But honestly, first time around, she didn't, like, click in my head as somebody that, like, I hate. But when we analyzed it, I was like, oh my god, she's an awful person. So she's on there, but, like, not in the same sense as the other ones. So I'll just give you my last person. And that is just Jimmy. I feel like every season, I was always like, I need more. I need more to like him. I'm not getting enough. And I don't think it's his fault. It's obviously the writers. They just didn't give him enough. You know, all his plots were just him in a wheelchair, basically. And, like, him liking Ellie and then breaking up with all... It's just, like... And then getting with his aide or his friend or whoever she was that also was at physical therapy with her. It just wasn't something that felt like they put a lot of thought into him.
Yeah, and I think blackmailed his dad.
But yeah, he blackmailed his dad. Like, there was just... At the end of his plots, I was not impressed. And that is my last did not grow on me character.
Okay, my last one is going to be a little surprising. And I want to preface this by saying I still love this character. Holly J.
No way. I didn't expect that.
Just, I love Holly J. It's just, I feel like Holly J is often put on this pedestal as, like, the peak of Degrassi character development. But as I think we talked about on the podcast, her development from awful, mean bitch to good friend was kind of shoddy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It literally took her being, like, bullied by Allie to be like, okay, I gotta change it up.
Yeah, and it's like, even after the whole cyberbullying by Allie, it was like she started dating Declan and now she's, like, a nice person. I mean, she was still kind of an asshole at times, for sure. But the way that people put Holly J on this pedestal, I think, isn't really earned.
Wow.
Especially, we don't talk enough about how ridiculous the kidney plot is.
I think we did.
I'm sorry about it, but, like, Holly J bought a black market kidney. Can we, like, discuss this? I mean, that's not a good ending to her character. Uh-uh. She was a good friend to Fiona after she stole from her.
Basically.
So, it's like, love her to death. But, like, there were other characters who had better development than her.
She's overhyped.
Yep.
I get it. That's totally fair.
Still love her, though.
Of course.
Okay. So, bouncing off of that, what about the same thing for couples? Like, what grew on you, what soured on you?
Okay, so my number one I have to mention is Drew and Claire.
Yes.
Oh my god. Yes. I couldn't believe that I was rooting for them. I couldn't. And honestly, I was so disappointed that it wasn't Drew's kid. Because I think, first of all, I think Drew would have been a better dad than Eli.
Ooh, like, that's a hot take.
It is a hot take, but, like, think about it. Eli literally was like, you're a whore. So I think, and Drew was, like, ready to go.
He was
ready to raise that kid. And Eli, like, what supports does he have? His radio dad? Like, come on. It wasn't happening. But Drew and Claire absolutely grew on me. Like, obviously I love Eli and Claire, but there was just something about them that I wanted them to be together so bad. And I was so mad when they decided not to do it.
Yes. It was such a cop-out.
Yep. So that I think is my number one, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if they're my number one, but for me, I also really liked Peter and Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate the trope that, like, nice girl makes bad boy nice.
Yeah.
But they were, like, pretty cute together. And he was so good to her while she was going through it with her whole sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, even after she left to Africa, like, he still loved her.
He did.
Like, that was pretty much the only conflict in Peter and Mia's relationship, that Peter still loves Darcy.
He literally had a model girlfriend and still loved his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend that was in Africa.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's just iconic. I am a huge Peter Darcy fan, like I had always been, so I can't put them on there, but I'm really glad that you're on that side now.
Yeah. Like, I would say the first season of Degrassi I watched with Peter was when he was with Mia.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's why I didn't feel much for Peter and Darcy at first, because I had already seen Peter and Mia and I already liked them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, who cares about Darcy?
I think my other one that I was unexpectedly, like, super pumped about was Zoe and Rasha. Like, I know I already brought up Rasha and Zoe before, but I think they were just so cute. I loved the build-up. I loved them in the relationship. I feel like their conflict with Zoe bringing Rasha to the wedding without telling her was, like, very legit. Like, something that would absolutely happen. I think them fixing their problem, even though it was kind of a little bit of a cop-out, like, I think Zoe just literally bought her flowers and was like, we should be better, fine, whatever, it's very high school. But I just think that they just felt real the whole time, and I think that's what I'm looking for, is them selling me on it, and it really, they did.
And so Rasha deserves better.
She absolutely does deserve better, and I hate the fact that maybe she makes Zoe a better person, I don't even know, but I do like Zoe and Rasha.
On the other side of Zoe and Rasha, for me, is Goldie and Winston.
Yeah, why?
I just thought the little bit that we saw of them.
Okay.
I wish that they explored it more. I think I said already. Mm-hmm. Like, they just really made sense as friends, at least. And it's the classic Degrassi student council romance.
That's fair.
Yeah. Love to see those. Mm-hmm. And it's implied that they get together in the montage at the end.
Yeah.
Because they're going to the same school, Banting. Mm-hmm. They're going to get the Paige and Alex treatment.
Oh my god, I hope not.
So, yeah. Like, I would say they're my underdogs. I didn't really think much of them first time through. I was just like, I didn't care much for either character. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, okay, they're cute. I wish there was more of them.
Do you have a third one for this, or?
No.
Okay. So, let's go into couples that, what, we wish just didn't happen? Like, what is...
Like, you are like, oh, I hate them now.
Oh, I hate them now. Okay. Yeah, Imogen and Jack. For some reason, when I watched it the first time around, I didn't really pay mind to them. I kind of was just like, oh, they have, like, literally one plot. Like, it doesn't matter. And then the second time around, I was like, oh, this is, like, a long time. Like, we're, like, still going. There's multiple plots. There's the plot where they're like, I want to be in an open relationship. And then there's the plot where, like, Jack wasn't even out at all to her parents. And, like, I don't know. I don't think we needed it. I don't think Imogen needed to be in a relationship in that moment. Like, I think it was fine for her to be single, and I think we honestly could have done without it. I really thought that it was less than what it actually was, and then I watched it and was like, why are we still doing this?
Yeah, for me, Jack and Imogen is just a placeholder. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need Imogen to be dating a girl to have our lesbian quota for the show. So that's what we're gonna put Jack in for. Mm-hmm. But my controversial opinion is going to be Fiona and Imogen for They Soured on Me.
Get out. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa. Are you sure you're not just drunk?
So, I will say I still love them. But for me, the buildup for Fiona and Imogen in season 11 is like 10 times better than their actual relationship.
Okay.
Because, like, the build-up is so cute. It's like Fiona has a crush and she doesn't know that Imogen is into girls at the time. And then they have the kiss on the Ferris wheel during the winter festival. Cute. So cute. But then in season 12, as a couple, I feel like the chemistry isn't there as much. Or maybe it's that they weren't really given any focus as a couple. Mm. until it was time for Fiona to go and Imogen to stay.
Yeah.
And at which point Imogen, like, sabotages Fiona's entire career.
True.
So, like, what did they even do in season 12? It was Imogen has her dad having dementia and Fiona is just there while that's happening. Fiona gets robbed and Imogen is there while that's happening. So it's just kind of like, as a couple, they weren't a presence as a couple. I noticed on this most recent rewatch. And the reason I soured on them is because the buildup to them getting together was so big that them not really doing anything with that was disappointing.
Fair. That's fair.
I still love them, though.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I think my other one, and I could be wrong, but I think when we were recording, I really could not stand Riley and Zane.
No.
No, I know, I'm sorry. But I think Riley and Zane were so toxic to each other. Like, I think Riley was not comfortable enough to be in a relationship with Zane. And Zane really wanted Riley to come out, which was not cool either. And I feel like a lot of that time was me being like, why are we doing this? This is so toxic. Like, 90% of it, I think. Was it them?
Yes.
Were they the toxic relationship that I was like, Jasper's isn't healthy?
Well, on that note, I did also want to say most gay couples on Degrassi had the one person pressuring the other person to come out.
Yeah.
And that has soured me on, like, pretty much every gay relationship on Degrassi except Miles and Tristan, maybe.
Yeah, because they were both already out, and Tristan never... Well, Tristan just gave shit to Miles for being bi in general.
Yeah, so that's not even good either. Maybe Zoe and Rasha, they never pressured each other to come out.
Zoe was... Yeah, because Zoe never, like, pressured Rasha to come out to Goldie. Like, at yeah. all.
But everybody... I think every other gay relationship had some pressure at some point.
Paige and Alex never did. I don't think either of them really acknowledged the fact that Paige was, like, saying she wasn't gay. But, like...
Yes. Well, I guess I count that part of it.
Yeah, that's fair. Paige and Alex were very toxic, too.
Yeah.
But I still root for them, because I love Alex, like, now.
Yeah. Yeah, Paige and Alex, definitely in my top three couples, okay. I think.
Yeah.
So.
Spent a lot of time saying they were toxic. But that's okay. That's okay.
Toxic excellence. Eli and Claire, come on.
Fair. That's so true. Okay, those are my couples. You have any other ones?
I guess I already talked about Jay because of Jay and Manny.
Jay's just mean. That's my issue with it. Like, you don't have to be with someone that's mean to you. You could be with someone who doesn't steal engagement rings and then calls you a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, Manny just has never had a healthy relationship, and it breaks my heart. Like, literally, who was healthy? None. Like, this poor woman. She's so much better than that, and she's not never in a healthy relationship.
I think...
Even a healthy friendship with Emma.
Okay, I will say, Degrassi Goes Hollywood, Jay and Manny, they have a good ending that leaves me hopeful for their growth.
Was this after he turned her tape in after he stole it?
That was like a year afterwards.
Okay. Well, I guess we're making excuses. Okay. fine.
Okay. I think that's it for relationships.
They had some good ones. Degrassi knows how to have a relationship.
Yes. Okay, something I just realized I wanted to write down was your favorite classes of characters. So, like, graduating classes.
Oh. It's hard because, like, okay, it's gotta be Emma and Manny and Liberty and, like, JT if you live. I just feel like the fact that their prom had Natasha Bedingfield, like, is just iconic. Like, the whole, like, the pool scene, iconic.
Oh, true,
like,
yes.
Just them at graduation, like, wrapping it up. It just felt so... I don't know. There's just something about it with them ending it. It felt like, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a different Degrassi from now on, you know?
Yes.
So I think they're my favorite set. They're my favorite, like, class.
Yeah. So I don't know if this class is necessarily my favorite, but I do want to say in terms of cohesion of the class is Maya's class.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think I was going through this earlier. Maya's class is, I think, the class that lost the least number of people on its way. Okay. I think they only lost Tori.
Okay. Well, they didn't have a lot to start with.
Well, neither did, like, any class, really.
Well, the, I mean, Emma, Manny, Liberty, JT, Toby, Jimmy, Spinner. That's, like, six in one go.
Jimmy and Spinner were a year above. They just got held back.
Okay, but they still graduated with them,
that, so... That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Okay, fine.
But for me, it's, like, Maya, Grace, Zig, Tiny, the whole Rubber Room squad. Okay. They were a great group.
Okay.
And then you had the overlap with Miles, Zoe, Tristan...
Oh, that Goldie, is a big crew. Winston. Okay.
So I feel like we talked about this, about how when different kind of cliques of characters interact, that makes for a better Degrassi.
Yes, that is true. I have said that.
And that, I think Maya's class really encapsulates that.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, like, Zoe's on student council, but she's also good friends with Tristan and Miles, and she has her terminal rivalry with Maya.
Yeah.
Who's friends with Zig, who hates Miles, you know?
Yeah.
So there's, like, all these interconnections. Whereas, like, I think, I wanted to say this earlier, with seasons 13 and 14, you had all the Claire storylines, and you had all the Maya and her class storylines, and they were pretty much completely separate from each other.
Yeah.
I read this on Reddit, I think, that Maya and Claire never interact, even though they were on the show at the same time for, like, four seasons.
Oh, wow.
Which is just crazy.
I never even noticed that.
You know?
Okay.
So, that's kind of, I think, part of why 13 and 14 fall flat, that it's kind of two separate shows going on at the same time.
Oh, definitely.
Because there's no overlap between the two classes of characters. And Maya's class does a good job of having that overlap.
Okay.
And I think Emma's class does as well.
Yes. Yeah. I think so, too, because there are people who date outside of their friend group, like Ellie, too. Ellie's a part of that. Well, she was with Marco, right?
You mean Craig?
Well, no, I'm sorry. I mean, like, class-wise.
Yes, yes.
Okay. That's right, because Ellie, Marco, Paige were older than Emma.
Yes, yes.
Okay, but I'm still sticking with Emma and her class. I like them the best.
Yes, for sure.
So, I'm trying to think of, like, what graduating class then was yours. I guess whatever 20...
Like, the class I graduated with?
Well, the class that you liked the best. Like, Maya's class, what year was that? 2014?
Or 27? I think the episodes aired in 17.
Okay. And then I liked Emma and them. When did they graduate?
2008.
Wow, look at us. I was in 8th grade.
I think some other good classes were class of season 12, which was Eli, Fiona, Katie, Jake, Mo, Marisol.
Yeah, they were all right. I don't think they were, like, I think that the Paige, Spinner, Jimmy, if we're counting them as the class, like,
yes,
they were my second place class. And then I think it's Maya's, and then Claire.
Okay, I think the problem with Claire's class is the only important person in Claire's class at the end of the time is Claire.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that kind of bumps them far down, because all of the other characters are not important when they're graduating.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
But then, like, Eli's class, they're cohesive, but only because none of them were on the show for very long.
I think maybe that's why I'm like, eh, about them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, they were good while they lasted, but they didn't have the longevity to be top tier.
Yeah. No, I get that. Cool. That was a good question, though.
Yes. And kind of... bouncing off of that, I wanted to briefly kind of talk about kind of the different eras of Degrassi.
Okay.
Because the way that I kind of visualize the next generation and next class is that you kind of have four distinct time periods of Degrassi, which kind of have similar themes, or, like, the show is produced in similar ways. So that goes... seasons 1 through 5, seasons 6 through 9, 10 through 12, and then seasons 13 through the end of next class.
Okay.
And I think the kind of cutoff for each of those eras is kind of a big graduation, right? Season 5, the graduation is like Spinner, well, Spinner doesn't graduate, but it's Paige, Marco, and Ellie graduate and go off to college. Season 9 is Emma, who's been on the show since day one. She's finally off the show. Seasons 10 through 12 is the whole, like, there's a new episode every day era. Mm-hmm. The Shark in the Water era. And season 12 is when Eli graduates, so he's kind of done. Mm-hmm. And then 13 is when Maya kind of takes a step up, and then she's finally gone at the end of next class. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I visualize Degrassi as a whole. And I guess I just wanted to talk about kind of each era in general.
Okay. okay. I feel like we've kind of been doing that a little bit. I don't know. All right. So you want to start with 1 through 5?
Yeah.
Okay. What about it?
So I think specifically with that era, it's that in the public consciousness, I guess, that is the most iconic era.
Yeah, I like that one.
Like, whenever people talk about Degrassi today, they're talking about seasons 1 through 5. It's like, oh, you have Manny and her thong, you have the school shooting, you have Craig and his bipolar stuff, yeah. You know? People usually don't talk about the other eras of Degrassi as fondly.
Okay.
And I think nostalgia is definitely a big part of that, but also, at this point in time, at the end of 2022, it's like the, for example, the seasons 10 through 12 era is like 10 years past at this point.
Yeah.
So I would think that the nostalgia for that era would also be happening at this point, but it's not. Yeah. So I just wanted to bounce off of that.
There's no Degrassi still going on.
Yes, but you would think that there would now be more nostalgia for, like, the Eli Claire era.
Yeah.
At this point, now that that's 10 years past.
I think it's because they butchered it. Like, I don't think that they butchered seasons, like, I don't think they butchered Emma and Manny and Jay and, like, all of them. Like, I don't think that they ruined their characters enough for us to be like, oh, they suck. You know what I mean? Like, even Peter didn't get ruined. That's why everybody brings up the fact that he did meth. You know, like, but Claire was ruined. Claire got cancer and a baby. And, like, we talk about her all the time about how she just got an influx of plots that didn't make any sense. And I think that's kind of where it drops off, where it's like, it's not as fun to think about. Like, if we're thinking about Claire, we're thinking about Claire and Eli and that's it. We're only thinking about 10 through 12. We're not thinking about the fact that she was even on 13 and 14, you know? And, like, I think that's what makes it difficult is they ended all of those other season 1 through 5 characters in season 9 when they, like, needed to. Like, even when Spinner was still being featured later on, people were like, oh my god, why is he still on this? You know? Like, they knew when to end it, where, like, I think the later seasons, they didn't really know. Like, for example, Fiona being held back. Or, like, not, who was, no.
Imogen.
Imogen being held back. And it was kind of just like, okay. And then Drew being held back. And it's like, all right, I see what you're doing. But, like, Spinner and Jimmy were held back. But they were, like, legit reasons. Where, like, Drew being held back was, I don't even know. I don't remember.
He dropped out of school for a month or two.
Yeah, like, and then he's like, great, now he gets held back. And, like, why didn't Claire get held back? She had cancer, too. You know, it's like, there was just some things that didn't, that weren't followed through well enough, that I think looking back, you're like, 1 through 5 makes the most sense. For me, though, I feel like the most nostalgic are 10 through 12. I feel like those were the ones I was watching on TV. Like, JT's death was there, but when I think back to Shark in the Water and, like, Fiona and the Black Eye and, you know, and Eli and Claire and Jenna having the baby, like, I think 10 through 12 is my most nostalgic one. Like, season 1 sucked. Like, we were talking about, I didn't put in my least favorites because, like, you gotta give a show a chance, but season 1 wasn't, like, it started off with 13-year-old kids that I was like, how am I supposed to relate to this, you know?
Okay, so 10 to 12 was also my most nostalgic era, but I guess my point is that in kind of the general discourse about Degrassi these days.
Yeah.
Like, the only discourse about 10 to 12 is like, oh, remember Shark in the Water and how iconic that promo was?
Yeah.
People aren't actually talking about the characters themselves. They're not talking about, like, Fiona or Adam. I do see maybe Claire and Eli being talked about a bit, but nobody else to the same level that, like, Paige or Spinner are, or JT.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, that it's just interesting to me. Like, maybe it's the fact that the 10 to 12 era, like I was talking about with Eli's class, we didn't see them grow up from little babies like we did with Emma and Paige.
Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of the difference. You didn't grow up with them in the same way that people who are watching in the early Next Generation days were.
That would make sense, because when we met Eli, he was what, a sophomore or a junior?
He was a junior.
Yeah, so a lot of the characters we met later on, Adam moved here, Drew moved here, like, these aren't characters that started as freshmen. Like, none of them. Like, even Fiona and Declan, they moved there. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of introductions of characters later on that, like, they could have honestly just been like, oh, they were in middle school and now they're here. And they didn't do that. So, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. My other thought was Drake. Are Drake's seasons hyped up just because Drake was in them? Or are they hyped up despite him, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know, because I feel like rewatching it, like I said, Jimmy, like, didn't impress me as much as I thought he would, you know? And I feel like when people are like, oh, Degrassi, oh, Drake, you know, like, that's fair. I think it's more of an outsider view, though. I think people who actually watch Degrassi know
yes.
that Jimmy's character wasn't as big as, like, Spinner.
Yes.
Or wasn't as big as, like, Paige and, like, whatever. Like, I would say he was a B-plot character more than an A-plot character most mm-hmm. of the time.
Yes.
But I don't think 6 through 9 were like, eh. I think they were all right. Like, I don't think there's anything worth writing home about.
It was definitely a transition era.
Yeah.
That's when all the college plots were. Because I think the issue with 6 through 9 was they didn't have enough new characters.
Yeah.
At the end of season 5 to fully write off Paige and Marco and such.
Yeah.
So they needed to keep them on to keep the viewers interested while they introduced all these new characters.
Yes, which makes sense.
And then unfortunately it got messy when the characters they introduced, like Darcy and Mia, ended up going to the CW.
Yeah, they had way bigger hits somewhere else.
So, like, it was already messy to begin with and became messier as it went on,
mm-hmm.
which is honestly why the season 10 soft reboot was so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really kind of refreshed the series with a new coat of paint. And brought in a whole new audience,
basically,
which
yeah.
was us, basically.
True, true.
And then the 13 through next class era was basically the Maya era, which, like I just said, was kind of messy because of the overlap of Claire and Maya's class not having any overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And then next class had having a messy beginning, but then a strong ending.
Yes. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense why people look at 1 through 5. And I think if they had done 10 through 12, similar with, like, where Claire was introduced as a freshman, Casey, Jenna, Allie, like, I think I understand that they couldn't introduce everybody as freshmen, but I don't think it would have been a cop-out if they had been like, oh, Eli has been around this whole time, and we just, like, hadn't met him. Because mm-hmm. I think we talked about that before, too, with other characters. We're like, have they been here? And we just, like, didn't know.
Yeah.
And then we're like, yeah. And it's like, all right, well, like, keep going. You know, school's big. Like, who cares? But they didn't really do that. They had to bring in, like, the whole hockey team was a whole new thing. But, again, I don't think it was, like, bad. I think that seasons 1 through 5 definitely is top tier. And then 10 through 12 for sure is next, in my opinion. And then it has to be 6 through 9 and then 13 through next class. I just don't want to put 13 and 14 with that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like two halves.
Yeah.
I would say.
Mm.
But, yeah. But with that being said, of course the reboot is like in no man's land at this point.
Mm.
But there will be a Degrassi reboot at some point. Might not be tomorrow, might not be next year, or next year since it's almost the end of 2022, but there will be a Degrassi reboot at some point. So what are kind of the essentials that the Degrassi reboot should have?
Simpson. It has to. It literally has to. Even if he's in for a minute, you know, like, maybe they'll start the season with him getting an award for, like, best principal of the year, right? And then, like, we don't see him again. And I know he wasn't involved in the writing. Or at least I know he was involved in the hiring of the writers. I don't think he's writing it. But it doesn't mean he can't be featured in the first episode. Like, I think he needs to be in there. I think Claire needs to be in there.
Really, Claire?
Yeah. Well, she also had the most seasons, or most episodes of anybody.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously you have to have the highest, you know, person who got the most seasons and most episodes. Maybe Emma. If you're bringing Simpson, you could bring Emma. And probably Maya. But Maya would probably be more of, like, a Craig situation where she, like, shows up for the talent shows and then, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to have Simpson. You have to have Claire. And you can have Emma if you have Simpson. And that's... those are priorities, in my opinion.
So, I think the reboot doesn't necessarily need to have a specific character, necessarily. Like you were just saying. Maybe Simpson.
It has for sure. to have him. He's every season.
I do think you do need to have Mr. Simpson, for sure. But I think there needs to be a link to a previously existing character.
Yeah.
So I think the most obvious route is Spinner and Emma.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like,
too.
Their child, yeah. Right? Which, given how controversial Spinner and Emma is, I'd be interested to see how they go with that. Because I did see people being like, oh, maybe they'll have an adult love triangle with Sean, Spinner, and Emma.
Ooh, I'd love that.
I don't know if I would, because that's an adult plot on Degrassi, and that should not be the focus.
What I think they could possibly also do is have it be Spinner and Emma's child, but kill off Spinner.
What?
I think they could. I think that they definitely could do that. I think they could have Emma as a single mom. Like, you know, she's raising the kid. The kid's at Degrassi. She's back home with Simpson, you know, because Spinner died, honestly.
Well, you could do that with a divorce. You don't need to kill Spinner.
I think killing Spinner would be more dramatic, but whatever. Fine.
Degrassi isn't about the drama. It's about depicting realistic situations that
could be realistic, because cancer could come back.
That's awful!
I'm just saying, that's not, like, out of the ordinary. Like, it could happen. Okay, fine. How about Spinner and Emma split, and then she has the child, and she moves back home with Simpson, and then they have Degrassi. Is that better?
Sure.
Okay.
But even if it's not Spinner and Emma, I think it needs to be some link to the Next Generation era.
Yes.
I guess that could be, like, I think we've mentioned this before, like, JT and Liberty's kid.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Which, I'm not a huge fan of that.
I don't think they could do that, because how would Liberty get the kid back? That's nuts.
Well, not necessarily that, but, like, this kid is adopted and he's trying to find who his birth parents are.
Nah,
and surprise, boo. It's JT and Liberty.
Lame. I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that. Maybe, like, Mia's kid.
Jenna's kid.
And, oh, Jack. Baby Jack.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, at this point, he's too old. Unless they do a ton of retcons, which could happen, of course, but
I don't know. I mean, I think that the path they'll have to go is no one's kid, but they will need a link. And I think it might be a teacher who would come back and be a teacher.
Marco!
There you go. That could be Marco. It could be Miles. Miles could come back as an English teacher. Like, there are possibilities. I don't think it necessarily needs to be someone's kid, though.
That's true.
I mean, it would be nice, because that's what they did with Emma.
Yeah, but Emma is a unique case just because she was a teen pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like, who are the only teen pregnancies who actually kept the kid?
Mia
and Dallas.
Yeah. And we barely met Dallas's kid.
And Nina Dobrev isn't coming back, so.
No, definitely not.
So, given that it's either, like, a new kid who we don't know, or, yeah, I guess a teacher, or, like, maybe a Connor situation where it's, like, the god kid.
Yeah.
But outside of the link, I think something Degrassi has always done is, like, talk about kids and technology.
Yeah.
So I would be interested to see how they talk about, like, maybe the COVID era, or like the TikTok era of teenagers.
Yeah.
These days. I mean, you know more about that than I do, but
I think it's harder because it's almost like that stuff is unrelatable to us. Like, I don't want that, I guess. And I understand that, like, you can have plots with, like, the sending nudes on Snapchat, which is basically what they did. And, like, that, okay, I can get. But I just can't imagine them doing something with TikTok. Because, like, I literally, when I walk the hallways at my job, there are kids in the hallways making TikToks, like, all the time. Like, it is a thing. And, like, would I like to see it in a TV show? No. I want to pretend like it's not happening. But I guess that is kind of how life goes.
Well, that's the point of Degrassi. It's not for us anymore.
That's so sad to say, though.
It is, but it's the truth. Yeah. Degrassi isn't made for 26-year-olds who watched the season 10 era.
I guess I'm just nervous that the reboot's going to be cringy. Because, like, I've even seen, like, how they're rebooting that 90s show. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of the stuff for that?
I saw the trailer.
And it's just like, what is this? And it's like, I don't know who this is for. Like, maybe it's for younger kids, but it's just not. I don't know. I feel like I could watch That 70s Show right now, and it would still be funny. So I don't know if, like, Degrassi nowadays would have the same effect. I guess we would have to find out.
Yeah, I think this is obviously me knowing nothing about how to produce a TV show, but Degrassi should hire, like, actual teenagers.
Yeah.
To, like, even just proofread the script.
Yeah, and be like, would you actually say this out loud in real life?
Or even just ask the people you hire for the cast members.
Yeah.
Like, be like, hey, critique us on our script because we don't know what is going on.
Right? That's the worry, is, like, the slang, the whatever. Like, I think that's why a lot of people are always like, oh my gosh, old Disney was so much better than new Disney. And it's like, yeah, I think there's a line that people cross with writing that they don't know how people actually talk.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm so worried about for Degrassi, is that it could go that way and then it's, like, canceled after one season. But there was also the rumors of it going more the Euphoria way. And Euphoria was so successful because it wasn't written horribly. Like, it was written really well. So I think if you went with the same people who wrote Euphoria, but just not as, like, you know, nudity and, like, horrible, horrible drugs and drama and whatever. Like, I think that it's possible to do it.
Well, I heard the writing of Euphoria is kind of sketchy. In terms of the storytelling, at least.
Oh, okay. I mean, but I didn't mind watching the first few episodes. If anything, I was like, oh my god, I think I'm, like, too prude for this. And I don't want to watch Degrassi and be like, I'm too prude for this.
But, yeah. I think besides that, Degrassi is in an interesting place because of the streaming era that we're in. Like we talked about earlier with Next Class. It's like, how does Degrassi function in the era where whole seasons are released at a time? Or like, I know some shows have kind of done a weekly release schedule.
Like HBO Max does it with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So that's definitely the route for sure. But
the episodes have to be longer. They have to be longer than 20 minutes. They have to be like,
yes,
30 to 40 minutes long to keep up with how people watch TV now.
Yes.
And I think they could do it. It's just it just rides the line of like sitcoms can be 20 minutes because there's like joke, plot, end. You know, it doesn't need to be continuous. Where Degrassi has ABC plots that need to like either continue on or not. And it's like, can you fill 40 minutes of teen drama that people want to watch and are willing to wait a week to watch every week? That's going to be the issue, which makes me nervous why they canceled it, the reboot for now.
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily because of Degrassi. It was because HBO was a hot mess.
Oh, okay.
Rather than, like, it wasn't the Degrassi reboot is a bad show, so we're canceling it. It's HBO Max is having lots of internal problems, and that's why Degrassi was canceled.
Okay. I was gonna say, because like they still regardless have all of Degrassi on HBO Max now.
Yes.
Which means there's gotta be something coming. They won't just buy that show off of YouTube for no reason.
Well, I honestly think Degrassi should be free.
Yeah. I mean, it should be, but it's not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Nothing's free anymore. It's so hard to find anything.
That's why it was so good on YouTube.
Yes, for sure.
But yes, definitely interesting to theorize about what could happen with Degrassi. Mm-hmm. Maybe when I finish Linda Schuyler's book, she'll have the last sentence will tell me what's happening.
That would be so but, sick.
Yeah, definitely buy Linda Schuyler's book, The Mother of All Degrassi. I'm only like 50 pages in, but it's I love it so far.
Aww. I'm excited. I definitely have to read it.
I'll lend it to you when I'm done.
Oh, you're the best.
So, in thinking about Degrassi's future, as our podcast moves forward, we're, of course, done with the modern Degrassi. So in order to go forward, we need to look at Degrassi's past. And so, our plan for 2023 is to go through Degrassi Classic, Degrassi Junior High, and Degrassi High.
We are very excited for this.
Yes, Bridget still needs to get her DVDs because I have my DVDs. But we don't know where to find these shows easily on the internet. So,
but we will be doing such great episodes that you won't even have to watch them because Jasper's recaps alone like just are so amazing. So if you don't have access to it, don't even worry. That's why we're here. You just have to listen to us talk about it.
Yes. So please look forward to that.
And yeah, you'll hear from us next year.
Yes. So hope you have a wonderful end of year. Hopefully this episode will be out before the end of the year. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you soon.